on here. I am. Am I good? All right. We're going to get going. We are in Article 14 today. We'll get there in a second. Before we do, let me pray for us. Lord, I just thank you for waking us this morning, for providing another day of mercy. And Lord, how merciful you are that you would bring us to this place this morning, that we can hear your word preached, that we can sing your praises, we can learn more about you. So I pray now, Lord, that you would speak through your word, through the scriptures that we're going to use to support this belief that we have in this confession. Lord, do this work by your Spirit in us this morning for our good and for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Somebody very quickly read what the title of this article is.
Creation and Fall of Man.
Creation and Fall of Man. Good. Close your books.
Really?
I know. Thank you. Yeah. No, it's not that at all. because I wouldn't want that myself if I was sitting in your place. So here's what I want to do, though. Creation and Fall of Man. This is an article that we would believe. Right, this is what we confess. What do you think this article, just based off of the title, is seeking to clarify in the world or give a correct answer to? Like, what may be some of the wrong thinking that this might answer? Does that make sense, that question? Because I want to make a little list, and then as we go through it, I want to see if those questions are actually answered in this. So what are questions that might come up in the world about the creation and fall of man? It could be any or all of that statement.
Man is good.
Okay, man is good.
Created in the image of God.
Okay, good. Why did God allow the fall to happen?
Why did we even have to deal with the consequences of what Adam and Eve did?
Good. Why are we responsible?
Hold
on a second. I'm sorry. I'm not that fast. No, that's okay. Why are we responsible for Adam and Eve's sin, right? Basically, is what we're thinking. Gee, I'm sorry. Okay, literal days of creation. Anything else that you can think of? I mean, there's going to be other things, I'm sure, that you'll think of as we go through. But the point is this. I don't want us to... I'm sorry, I'm just going to move this back, Steve. The point is this. I don't want us to just read through this as if it's, okay, this is just something we all believe, yay, no application. The point would be that this is what we believe. And this actually answers a lot of questions that you may come across in the world. And how do we know what we believe based off of this? What's it going to be based in? Based off of what?
Scripture,
right. So if it's not supported by Scripture, it wouldn't be true. Right? So we want to answer these things based off of the biblical worldview, and this confession puts it together very concisely. So let's get right to it. Now you can open back up to Article 14. And as we go through, we want to be thinking about these questions. Okay, is man good? Created in the image of God? Why did God allow the fall to happen? Why are we responsible for Adam and Eve's sin? Literal days of creation, basically the veracity of the biblical account of, you know, is any of this answered here? Article 14. We believe that God created man from the dust of the earth and made and formed him in his image and likeness, good, just, and holy, able by his own will to conform in all things to the will of God. But when he was in honor, he did not understand it and did not recognize his excellence. But he subjected himself willingly to sin and consequently to death and the curse, lending his ear to the word of the devil. For he transgressed the commandment of life, which he had received, and by his sin he separated himself from God, who was his true life, having corrupted his entire nature. So he made himself guilty and subject to physical and spiritual death, having become wicked, perverse, and corrupt in all his ways. He lost all his excellent gifts, which he had received from God, and he retained none of them, except for small traces, which are enough to make him inexcusable. Moreover, all the light in us is turned to darkness. As the scripture teaches us, the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness did not receive it. Here, John calls men darkness. Therefore, we reject everything taught to the contrary concerning man's free will. Since man is nothing but the slave of sin, and cannot do a thing unless it is given him from heaven. For who can boast of being able to do anything good by himself, since Christ says, "No one can come to me unless my Father who sent me draws him." Who can glory in his own will when he understands that the mind of the flesh is enmity against God? Who can speak of his own knowledge in view of the fact that the natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit of God? In short, who can produce a single thought, since he knows that we are not able to think a thing about ourselves by ourselves, but that our ability is from God? And therefore, what the apostle says ought rightly to stand fixed and firm. God works within us both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. For there is no understanding nor will conforming to God's understanding and will apart from Christ's involvement, as he teaches us when he says, "Without me, you can do nothing." Clear? It actually is very well written and very clear, but let's make it more clear and talk about it with some scripture. So thinking about maybe the, bless you. I'm going to take Jesus' question, literal days of creation, and kind of take it in this way. Maybe people are asking, where did man come from? Okay, our answer would be a biblical answer. Other people might answer, well, you know, from primordial ooze and all this stuff. It's kind of interesting. This confession does answer, certainly come against Darwin's account of evolution. And it's interesting because Debray wrote this in the 1500s, and Darwin wasn't until the 1800s, right? But there was always this opposition towards the biblical account of creation. So we believe that God created man from the dust of the earth. Genesis 2:7, then the Lord God formed the man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. Who created man? God. Okay. Genesis 3:19, by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. God created. He orders the days, knows how long the lifespan is as well. The next part. So we believe that God created man from the dust of the earth and made and formed him after his image and likeness, good, just, and holy. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So that's formed him after his image and likeness. But the good, just, and holy, Ephesians 4:24, the second half of the verse, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. This is man we're talking about. And then Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator. There can be probably a little bit of debate about that verse being applicable, but let's just put it this way. Man was made in such a way that he was able to not sin because he was created good, just, and holy. After God created man, it was what? Good, like all of his creation. This is really important to understand because really it's going to hinge on all of the salvation account after if we don't get this right. So I guess the question is this. Was Adam under law or under grace before the fall? Okay, in its basic tenets, I would say this. Law. Right? Do this and you're going to live. Do this and you're going to live. Where do we find that, by the way? We'll talk about it. But if you look at Genesis 2, sorry, let me just get here. Read it. Oh, look out. In Genesis 2, 16, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." So if you don't eat of it, you'll what? You'll live. If you eat of it, you'll die. There's a law. Don't eat of that. If you do, there are consequences. You're going to die. So Adam, when he was created, was good, just, and holy, created in the image of God, able to keep the law that God laid out in the garden. Okay, very, very important. The next part. Formed him after his image and likeness, good, just, and holy, able by his own will to conform in all things to the will of God. But when he was in honor, he did not understand it. That's a reference to Psalm 49:20. Man in his pomp, yet without understanding, is like the beasts that perish. So in his pride, didn't understand that he was created in this excellence. Did not recognize his excellence, but he subjected himself willingly to sin and consequently to death and the curse, lending his ear to the word of the devil. And this is our Genesis 3, 16 to 19. To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing, and your pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you, in pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles that shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." So, the question that Matt asked about whether this thing answers, this confession asks, man is good, right? People in society will say, well, man's basically good, right? I mean, that's a secular worldview. Well, sure, there's goodness in man. Everybody's good. So to answer Matt's question twofold, was Adam good? Yes. Was he able to keep the law? Yes. Is Adam good after the fall? No. And we're going to find out how wicked and corrupted Adam is. So then, is man good now? No. No. Okay. So there's really twofold answer. So the question would be, if someone says, well, man is good, well, which man are you talking about? Because Adam, before sin, was good. Us after the fall? No. No one righteous? No, not one. No one who seeks after God. Right? Biblically answering that question. Romans 5:12, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned." Are you a sinner? Yes. Good. Just a point here, and let's think about how, because this is, we're going to get to Doreen's point of why are we responsible for Adam and Eve? You know, it doesn't seem fair. But Eve, it says in Scripture, was what by the serpent? What? Deceived. Deceived. I want to make sure that we're clear with this. Adam wasn't deceived. Eve was deceived. Adam rebelled. Adam rebelled. You know, not only is he, I guess people call him the federal head, like the head of all humankind, right? And people ask, well, what? Why isn't Eve? You know, Eve was deceived. Adam rebelled. He said, God, I know your law. You told me not to do this. I'm going to do it anyway. He didn't do it because Eve said to him, oh, you know, well, here's this thing, and you should believe this. No, he knew what God said. God commanded him to not eat of it, and he ate of it anyway. He wasn't deceived. He rebelled. Okay, it's very important to understand that in this. So why are we then responsible? Why are we? Because, bless you, if we're in the garden, people would say, oh, well, if I was in the garden, I wouldn't have sinned. Yes, you would. Yes, you would. But that beyond that point, what happened when Adam sinned? Okay. With his sin. Yeah. So sin came into the world through one man. Who's the one man? Adam. Okay. And out of the seed of Adam now, all of mankind comes. So when Adam sinned, by the way, was he perfect before he sinned? He was good in that he could keep the law perfectly, right? But now, corruption, sin, his nature is now new. The nature is completely corrupted and wicked, whereas his nature was good and perfect before sin, right? Now, sin comes in, he sins willingly, nature corrupted. What's that? Exactly, which is why, and we're going to get that too, why there's death in the world. You know, why, all the effects of the curse, why we are sad at funerals, why all of this. So, new nature. Okay, so now, Adam's seed, as that procreation happens, now the nature is infected, corrupted completely. Procreation, children cannot come from an incorruptible seed. It's now corrupted. And everyone after that is corrupted. I want to make sure that, I know this is old hat for so many of you, but really important that we're able to understand this. Yes, we can look at Adam and Eve and be like, oh, all because of you guys. True. Yeah, okay, sure. But we need to own it in this sense. Well, okay, did you sin? Have you sinned in your life? Yes. Then you're the same as them. You're the same. So we come from a corrupted, wicked, vile seed. And we're sinners. So are we responsible for Adam and Eve's sin? Yes. We are, because we are now sinners by nature and by choice. By the seed of Adam, we love sin. I mean, think about this change. In the good creation, Adam loved God. He loved his creation. He loved to obey him. They would walk together. After sin, he in fact hated God, didn't believe him to be good, loved sin, and did everything he could to sin. Right? This is us, apart from salvation. Right? This is us before. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. Right? Ephesians 2. Alright, so let's move forward. And I read before, Genesis 2:17, by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for the day that you eat of it you shall surely die, which was Matt's point. This was the effect of him subjecting himself willingly to sin and consequently to death and the curse, lending his ear to the word of the devil. Because of that, Adam will surely die. Having become wicked and perverse and corrupt in all his ways, this is that corruption of human nature I talked about, he lost all his excellent gifts, which he had received from God. For he retained none of them, except for small traces, which are enough to make him inexcusable. What would be the scripture your mind would run to immediately when we talk about man, the inexcusable nature of man here? Romans 1, right? Romans 1, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and all the things that have been made. So, they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. This is talking about this lost all of his excellent gifts which he received from God and retained none of them except for small traces. This is that small traces idea that God has still left certainly evidence of himself in the world. And that's enough for us to be condemned. Okay? And we've talked about that before. Moreover, all the light in us is turned to darkness. As Scripture teaches us, and here the Scriptures are actually within the confession, the light shines in the darkness. Darkness has not overcome it. John 1:5. Here John calls men darkness, therefore we reject everything taught to the contrary concerning man's free will, since man is nothing but the slave of sin. John 8:34. Cannot do a thing unless it is, quote, given him from heaven. John 3:27. For who can boast of being able to do anything good by himself, since Christ says, no one can come to me unless my Father who sent me draws him. John 6:44. Who can glory in his own will when he understands that the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God? Romans 8:7. Who can speak of his own knowledge in view of the fact that the, quote, natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit of God? 1 Corinthians 2:14. In short, who can produce a single thought since he knows that we are, quote, not able to think a thing about ourselves by ourselves, but that our ability is from God? 2 Corinthians 3:5. And therefore, what the apostle says ought rightly stand fixed and firm. Quote, God works within us to will and to do according to his good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. For there is no understanding nor will conforming to God's understanding and will apart from Christ's involvement, as he teaches us when he says, quote, apart from me you can do nothing. John 15:5. Some applications here. And a thought, I want you to have this thought here. If we are hoping and trusting in somehow our ability to get back to God or to follow his laws, we're lost. And that's pretty much what all of that is stating there. The full title of this is Creation and Fall of Man and His Incapability of Doing What is Truly Good. That's really like the full title of what this is. We cannot do anything good, we all know that, apart from the Spirit of God working in us. So if our hope is in the first Adam, that's a death sentence. It's a death sentence. We must hope in the second Adam. And that's where all of our hope is going to come from. Okay. A couple of application points. I'm going to do this in about a minute. Try to. We're image bearers. We bear the image of who? God. So, as Christians, we should understand that there's a dignity and a worth to humans that is not given to anything else in all of creation. So think about this. This is why sin is such a tragedy. Image bearers are aborted. Image bearers are murdered. Image bearers go on and on and on. And by the way, image bearers do all of those things to other image bearers. Think about this tragedy of sin. Those that bear the image of God. Okay. Death isn't natural. It's not a natural thing. And the beauty is that Christ came to defeat death and sin. And he did. Why would he need to defeat it if it was natural? It's not a natural thing. It happened as an effect of the curse. And our ruin and misery and sin, our willing choice to sin. By the way, Adam had a free will. Right? We don't have the freedom. Well, we have the freedom to choose God, but will we ever choose God? If left to our own, no. Our desires will always be for sin, apart from God working in us. And the other application in this, that we need to develop our view of sin from the biblical account. Okay, we want to make sure that we understand the effects of sin. What is the greatest effect of sin? Separation from God, without a redemption, complete eternal separation from God, wrath, punishment, judgment. We need a second Adam. We need a divine Redeemer. We need the Son of God. We need Jesus. Faith and hope in Him. We now have eternity with God. So I want to just end in this because I, okay, 28, we're done. One scripture to end. If you have questions, ask John Kelly. I want to end with Romans 5. Because this can be kind of hopeless if you read this confession, apart from the idea of the second Adam. And I think, by the way, I'm hoping a lot of those questions that you thought of were answered within this. But here we go. Romans 5, 12 to 20. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, that being Adam, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. Hear this. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. If, because of the one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. We need to look to the second Adam. That's our hope in this. We have total inability. So the creation and fall of man, true. Our total inability to come to God, true. However, we have a hope in this world and an eternal hope that Jesus, as a second Adam, did what we couldn't do. Living the perfect life, and not only living the perfect life, free from sin, but now bearing the penalty and the wrath against our sin because we have a life that mirrors the first Adam. We needed a Savior. We have one. So there's hope in this. All right, let me pray. Lord, I thank you and praise you for this hope that we find in the creation and fall of man. There's still hope there, Lord, that you didn't leave us in that state, but provided a Redeemer for us in your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray that this morning, Lord, he would be put on display and that you would grow us in our love and affection and worship of him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.